You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Days left. 5 days. Millions of Americans have already voted. Over 75, I'm told. 75 million. And millions more are going to vote before this is over. And I believe when you use your power, the power of the vote, we literally are going to change the course of this country for generations to come.
October the 30th, 2020. You need a rally cry? You need a rally cry? Is if you haven't already decided and recognized what the left will do with this country, that's Joe Biden making it clear. I get in office. We're going to change the face direction of this country for generations to come. Generations. Will we ever get our country back if we go down that road? Block the road. Shut it down. Let no one pass down the road to take us to a place where we would lose all American values, everything we believe in, everything we cherish in this nation, everything that makes America great, that makes it the beacon for the world, that everyone wants to come here, and gives you the opportunity to pursue and do whatever you want. Everything from free enterprise to your religion, to Second Amendment rights, everything you value. It's on the table for this election. We're now going into the weekend ahead of next Tuesday. Campaigning's going to start ramping up. Even Joe has to admit, I've got to get out on the, got to get out. Barack Obama's going to join him tomorrow. But right now, today, Joe Biden and Trump are showing up in Minnesota. Richard Nixon was the last Republican to win that state during his 1972 landslide reelection. 4 years ago, Trump narrowly lost Minnesota. And those 10 electoral votes went to Hillary Clinton. And, of course, still not enough to help her win. But today, you've got both Biden and Trump back in Minnesota, suggesting this state, long carried by Democrats, might be in play. Trump is in there trying to gather some votes and additional support. Biden's there trying to shore up what they've got, if they still have any. Surveys suggest, if you're going to believe the surveys, that Trump has gained ground over the past month. Biden has his strength in the Twin Cities and surrounding suburban counties. But when you get out in the country, that's where you see that things can change and flip. We're going to be joined a little bit later by Chris Bedford of The Federalist. He, along with another Federalist reporter, had done a review and a look at some of these swing states, Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin. You're going to get his view on what's taking place. I will tell you this, that Michael Moore, the filmmaker, says Trump's going to win this election the way it's going. He said, do not believe the polls that say Biden's ahead. He said, take what they show, cut them in half, and then you get a better idea, and it's a very, very close race. Now, Michael Moore said the same thing in 2016, that Trump would win, and he was basically ostracized by many in the Hollywood elite. How can you sit there and say Trump's going to win? So this time, they're shaking in their boots that maybe he's right again. But, of course, what counts is the vote. And we still have so many in the media, mainstream media, carrying the water for the Democrats, trying to make sure they get in. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how, once again, Biden denies anything that Hunter Biden did is illegal and affects him in any way. But there's new developments on that front. In El Paso, a county judge is shutting down the entire region in his county for 2 weeks. All non-essential businesses closed for 2 weeks because of COVID. Is it legitimate, or is it, again, a last-minute rush to scare people into voting against Trump? Because the Democrats continue to blame Trump for all 200,000 deaths. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. I encourage you to let your friends and family know we're on the air. And I want to give you a heads up right now. Monday, November 2nd, this program will not air at this time. We'll be starting at 1 o'clock, starting Monday, November 2nd. This time frame, we'll be going to Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA. That'll be great for you. Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Listen, don't believe these polls, first of all. And second of all, the Trump vote is always being undercounted. Pollsters, when they actually call a real Trump voter, the Trump voter is very suspicious of the deep state calling them and asking them who they're voting for. And it's all fake news to them, remember. So it is not an accurate count. I think the safe thing to do, this is not scientific, I'm just saying from my experience of being a Michigander, whatever they're saying the Biden lead is, cut it in half right now in your head. Cut it in half, and now you're within the 4-point margin of error. Mm. That's how close this is. That's how desperately close this is.
Those are the words of liberal filmmaker Michael Moore, sounding the alarm now 5 days before Election Day, strongly suggesting polls showing Joe Biden in a comfortable lead against Trump are not accurate. He was appearing on the Hill's television program, Rising, and he fears that too many of the voters on the left will just kind of accept, I don't need to go to the poll. And he says, don't take that into account. He said the same thing in 2016. He pointed out then, going into the closing days of that election, he said, Hillary's not going to win. Trump's going to win. And immediately he got ostracized by many in the liberal media and his Hollywood elite. And then look what happened. He mentioned the polls. One of the things he said that was not included in that bite, he was saying that Trump has tightened virtually every one of the swing states to the point where Biden's only 5 points ahead in Wisconsin, 3 points ahead in Florida, 2 points ahead in Arizona. He said, I don't believe any of those, but if it's that close, it could be closer yet. See, he's had reports that he's constantly watched that shows Biden is ahead by 7 points in Michigan. He said, I need to remind people that the poll back in July said at that point Biden was ahead in Michigan by 16 points. If the 7 points is correct, if you believe that, Trump has already cut that lead since July in half and has tightened every swing state. That Biden could be 5 points ahead in Wisconsin. The New York Times, I subscribe. Yes, I decide to start my morning every day with an energy shot. By that, I mean some five-hour energy or something like that. And I open my eyes, and one of the things I always open to check is what's coming out of the New York Times as it's released by one of their editors saying, here's what's important for you to know today. And, of course, it's focusing on the election. And the title on this one column is Surprise, Surprise. Can't you just hear Gomer from those days saying, surprise, surprise, right? We point out that Kamala Harris, the Democrat vice presidential candidate, is campaigning today in Texas. He said, now that's a state Trump won by 9 points 4 years ago. And Barack Obama lost by 16 points in 2012. But the New York Times states, the writer does, this year is a swing state. And in fact, Senator Ted Cruz, a Texas Republican, said, it's a real race. And Harris, is going to make three stops. She'll be in Fort Worth, Houston, and the smaller city of McAllen in South Texas. Joe Biden is struggling to do as well with Latino voters as Hillary Clinton did in 2016. And this article writer, columnist says, if somebody had told you a few years ago Trump would be doing better with the Latino and black voters in 2020 than in 2016, would you believe it? He said, it's happened, and listen to this reasoning. It's happened because voters have, this is his words now, not mine. Voters have become less polarized by race during Trump's presidency. His appeals to white nationalism haven't worked with most white voters. That's a direct slur, slander, a misstatement, incorrect fact. Appealing to white nationalism. But that's the bell they continue to ring. It's part of the race card. You put that with the COVID concerns and fears, everybody's going to stay inside or you're going to die. Those are the 2 points they can push right now. The ads, though, Trump's, again, as he calls it, white nationalism, hasn't driven away many voters of color who didn't already oppose him. Instead, his confrontational style, tough talk on crime, national security, seem to have appealed to some Latino and black voters. Now, why would you think that? Why would you? He's right about the numbers. The Latino and black voters like the fact that he's talking tough on crime and national security. That's because they are also often, most often, the victims of such crimes like that. I told you 4+ years ago, when 8 years ago, basically, that Obama, when he had a chance the second term to become a real leader, a statesman, and bring the races together, stop the divide. He didn't do it. And then he continued to allow excessive border crossings, and now we got states, of course, that have sanctuary policies. Many of those who live in there, in those communities, they're often among the poorest or the low income. It's not the high, rich, luxury, Mercedes-driven crowd that has to worry about crime in their neighborhood that much. And so Latinos and blacks living in those areas say, we need more protection. And when it comes to border security, I pointed out to you numerous times, many Latinos, they came legally. They've gone through the process legally. They're holding on to a job. And if someone comes across the border illegally, they might take that job from them tomorrow morning. So they don't like that either. A national poll released just yesterday shows Trump winning 9% of black voters this year. 9%. That's up from 8% in 2016. There are other forecasts, and not polls, but forecasts saying he's going to do double digits, 10, 12, 14. Dr. Gerard Lomero has said up to 40% of the black vote. I have a hard time believing that. But if he gets anything north of 10, 12%, that's going to be a landslide for Trump in so many ways. And the poll released yesterday shows his support among Latinos last time around, 2016, 29%. is what he actually got. They're forecasting at this time 35%. And I've told you previously that, yes, he's going to be picking up more Latinos. I think he will be above 35% Latino voters. In fact, the New York Times editor has to admit, if Trump manages to win re-election, support from a slice of Latino voters will probably be a key reason. And that is why you have Kamala Harris down in McAllen, Texas today. I'm sure she never heard of McAllen, Texas until you're on the schedule. I can't wait for her to be called on mic. Where are we? Is this El Paso? It's McAllen. McAllen! Kamala's here! It's me! Like she did the other day in another location. This New York Times writer points out that Biden can win in an orthodox way, flipping three industrial states known as the Blue Wall until Trump won them in 2016. Remember, the Hillary Clinton camp believed he cannot break down the Blue Wall. He might even have more popular votes than I will, but they cannot get through the Blue Wall. That involves Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. That's going to be pretty big. That's why you're seeing an increase in activity in those states. And we will be joined a little bit later by Chris Bedford of the Federalist, who, with another Federalist reporter, they've been in those regions, and they're going to report what's happening up there. In the meantime, everything's being stacked against Trump. You know that. Molly Hemingway, also a writer for the senior editor, I should point out, at the Federalist. She says, yes, the media are rigging the election against half the country, and here's how. She said, even if Donald Trump had lost the 2016 election instead of won it in a surprise, the media's coverage of his campaign and supporters would have been a horrific failure. They presented that race as unwinnable for Trump as if his support was inexplicable. And she said, look at what they're doing now. She said, she lays out five different points they're doing, and you can easily document these. She says, first, refusing to do journalism on Joe Biden. Basic journalism. She's, of course, referring to the New York Post story published October the 14th about Hunter Biden introducing his father to a top Ukraine businessman, and it's just been ignored. Mainstream media ignoring it. They don't want to deal with it. Now, last night, Sinclair's James Rosen reported the FBI had opened an investigation into Hunter Biden and his associates last year, investigating allegations of money laundering. And Bob Alinsky, the insider who came forward with a lot of the information documenting and backing up the New York Post story, has been apparently interviewed as a material witness in recent days. But the media blackout, we don't see anything, don't hear anything, we're not reporting it. She also points out the mainstream media has a slavish devotion to obvious, wrong polling. And that's true. If they find anything that makes Trump look bad, they're going to highlight that. And they hide Trump's accomplishments and enthusiasm. You want a perfect example of that? CNN, MSNBC, yesterday morning, the Commerce Department announcing the GDP surged by 33.1%, a record for a third quarter increase. CNN, MSNBC, didn't bother covering it. Just push it aside. The Washington Post treated it like this is unbelievable. In other words, they didn't want to buy it. Which gets them to another point she raises. They peddle a lot of fake narratives. We all know that. Like the guy that came forward admitting that he wrote the book Warning, and he used his name Anonymous, Miles Taylor. Admits he lied to even CNN that he was the author, that said I'm not the author, and then coming forward. And they put that on. They didn't bother fact-checking anything at that time. They didn't care. And, of course, the other point, you've got the tech people, Twitter, Google, and so forth, trying to suppress any speech that might hurt Trump. All of that in play. All of that in play. And the polls that continue to put these numbers in front of you saying, he's going to win. He should win. They're talking about Biden, that Biden should win. Let me take you back to Michael Moore, filmmaker, activist. And he says, I'm trying to be Paul Revere. I use my words here, not his. I'm Paul Revere riding through, sounding the alarm. The Trumpers are coming. The Trumpers are coming. You better do something. He says, I fear the people are too asleep. They're not paying any attention. And in fact, Michael Moore says, I am absolutely frightened each and every day and night, every day and night.
I wake up every morning with the assumption that Trump believes he's going to win, and that's good enough for me. If he thinks he's going to win, then I think he's going to win, and I'm going to act every minute of today and the rest of the day until I fall asleep after midnight. I am going to be working to make sure he doesn't win because he thinks he's going to win, and I know he's an evil genius. And he's smarter than all of us. And I know people hate to hear that, but I'm sorry. You to win the White House by losing the election, that's genius. I don't know how to do that.
And he admitted Trump is smarter than all of us. Those on the left don't like that remark, Michael Moore. But you said it. They're trying to block it. Yes, Trump believes he's going to win. I don't think, I'd like to know really the heart of hearts if Biden and Harris think they're going to win. I'd like to know the Kool-Aid they're drinking. It's still close. Don't take anything for granted. But there's another voice coming forward saying, no, no, Biden's going to win. Biden's going to be inaugurated. And we will change this nation. Coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
She'll be the death of me, at least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me, the worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary, we're what deep in love, yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I feel very confident that Joe Biden will be elected president on Tuesday, whatever the end count is, but on the election that occurs on Tuesday, he will be elected. On January 20th, he will be inaugurated president of the United States.
That is a frightening statement. It's the wish, the hope, and I know she firmly believes it, I guess. Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, the one holding all the House Democrats together, and despite the squad efforts, AOC and the others trying to take power from her. She's the one who finally jumped on to impeach Trump, even though she didn't want to, went along with the crowd to get along to get along. And she's saying that Biden's going to win and be reelected, be elected and be inaugurated. Do not forget, please, do not forget, in addition to the White House, the battle for the Senate is also crucial. If the Democrats should win the White House and the Senate, they will immediately rush forward and create new states. If they don't win the White House but win the Senate, they will also start trying to transform the nation because they'll hold the Senate and the House. Now, there's one Senate race I want to point to for a moment, and it's in Michigan. That's one of the big states in play. Senator Peters has been in politics in Michigan for 30 years. His challenger is John James, Republican, graduate of the U.S. Military Academy, 8 years in the Army, multiple tours of duty in Operation Iraqi Freedom. And they're putting on a full court press to dismiss him as a challenger. Now, John James says, I'm not intimidated by terrorists, not going to be intimidated by a politician. And he says, if Gary Peters had spent as much time and money helping black men as he's now trying to spend beating one in Michigan, I wouldn't have had to run. He said, I'm doing this because we need it for our state, but more importantly, I see on the overall picture, I want to draw to your attention. If he can oust Peters, that's going to be very big. That would, to take that Senate seat in Michigan, And again, Barack Obama's coming out on the campaign trail. I said tomorrow, I think he's actually going to make an appearance today with Joe Biden in Michigan. And that means that Gary Peter's going to be brought up there too, paraded around, say, this is the guy, and we want him to stay in the Senate. You know they're going to do that. James says, to this date, Democrats have spent something like $60 million against me. $60 million. And people in the state of Michigan still can't put a finger on a thing he's done for them. Two out of three voters don't know him or don't like him, so now he has to lie in order to beat me. And now bringing in Obama with Biden, supposedly that'll help carry him across the line. And the same thing can be said about Biden. 47 years, and what have you done for the American public? 8 years with Obama, what have you done? So what's happening in some of these swing states? We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to bring on board Chris Bedford, a contributor to The Federalist. He recently, along with another Federalist reporter, spent a lot of time in some of these swing states getting up close and personal. You'll want to hear what he has to say. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, they're starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring him up. Well, they pick the tune out, and he throws it on the hum. Down on the corner, out in the street.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I'm going to admit to you, I'm confused, and maybe they are as well. And by they, I don't know if I'm talking about, quote, the media or the politicians, as in the Democrat side of the politicians. I mentioned earlier that Obama was going to be joining Biden for this final weekend starting tomorrow. And then I said, no, here's a word now that he might join him in Minnesota today, because being Friday, he's going to show up there and help him out. But I'm still seeing other stuff. The late report from the Hill says Obama would join Biden in Michigan tomorrow. So I don't know when he's going to show up. I don't really care. But trying to keep you posted. As I mentioned, the swing states are critical, the Rust Belt being a big part of it. And actually, the last time around, Hillary did not give it any attention, and Trump did. What's happening there? These swing states are that crucial. And joining us now, Chris Bedford with The Federalist. And Chris and another colleague went on a tour of some of these same states, taking a look at them, along with political editor John Daniel Davidson, we have on from time to time. Chris, glad to have you on board again, sir.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, this article you put out 3 days ago, we just now had a chance to get you booked. I know you've been extremely busy. You're talking about the Rust Belt road trip and what you're learning about 2020 swing state voters. I'm going to have to break this down in pieces so we can absorb it over the air. And you began with, on part of it, Trump supporters who are actually union members. Now, that's normally a lock for Democrats. What did you find?
That we found that, and one of the reasons it took so long to get with you, and I'm sorry about that, is because we were in Pennsylvania doing the last of the Rust Belt tour.
Right.
When we were in Wisconsin and Michigan, we found a lot of the same, which is the rumors that you've been hearing, that the news media has been telling you about suburban educated women leaving in droves or saying they're going to, are true. We've been hearing that everywhere we went, whether it was due to COVID or due to tone or any other kind of reason.
And again, which demographic again reemphasize that?
That was the suburban college-educated women who are the kind of people who would
are you putting race into it, or just suburban women, which might majority be white? I'm just asking.
That's probably majority white, okay. Although they're often described to me as suburban women. The states we were in, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, are largely white states.
Right.
Outside of the cities. These women have been leaving, we've been hearing, but they've also been being replaced by a whole group of people we found, the dairy farmers, the union workers, the fishermen, the people who work with their hands, the bartenders, who are coming around to vote for Donald Trump. And these are people who were apolitical, or Democrats, people who'd never really cared. They'd certainly never festooned either a Barack Obama or a Mitt Romney flag onto their boats or their ATVs. They were not the kind of people to put yard signs out. And everywhere we went in these states, they were pouring out. It was lifelong Democrats who were changing.
What is galvanizing them?
Donald Trump is someone who's the first politician they think who's speaking to them. Now, this is a place where this is Paul Ryan's Republican Party in Wisconsin traditionally, and it's changed dramatically. The Democratic Party seems they feel completely abandoned by Hillary Clinton, forgotten that they were just taken for granted, which they were. And when we went through, they felt that Joe Biden hadn't done anything differently for them and that he wasn't even really in charge. Now, obviously, as we've seen, Joe Biden and the Democratic Party have been deeply spooked by how close their lead has – or how much their lead has shrunk in early voting just before Election Day when Republicans will be strongest. And that's why they're suddenly rushing out to campaign in the last final days of an election. But they feel like they've been ignored, and they feel like Donald Trump is the kind of guy who actually gets them, and they're interested in the trade deals. They're interested in America. They don't like being told that they're bad for being part of this country or for loving this country or for serving in the military or for being working class.
You know,
they're switching.
We have polls which keep giving us different pictures, depending on which one you buy or you don't, and whether you believe them or not. But there's no doubt that when you see where the candidates are spending their time and their money, especially in the closing days, that tells you that that's a state in play and it's vital.
Yes, and you've seen what Michael Moore, an old Michigan liberal.
We ran his clip earlier, but everybody heard him say that don't believe the polls, but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And when one of the things that terrified him in that same clip with Sagar and Jetty was that he saw Donald Trump go into some of the few counties in Michigan that Hillary Clinton had actually won. So he's not going to Donald Trump counties. He's going to Hillary Clinton counties.
Not to the choir. Not speaking to the choir, huh?
Exactly. And I've gone to his rallies in Ohio and in Pennsylvania this election cycle. There are people who are coming from hundreds of miles around to see him. And in Pennsylvania, the county we were just in, up in Luzerne County, which had gone for the first time since Ronald Reagan for a Republican and is vital to Republican chances of reelection this time around, when a Joe Biden had held a rally the 2 days before we got there, there were more Trump supporters there than there were Biden supporters. It looks like a Trump rally.
So the blue wall, that he broke through last time that they thought was solid, he couldn't touch, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, regardless of how many votes, and some were close. You're seeing a repeat of what we had in 2016 with Trump in those areas.
I'm seeing an exact repeat of what we saw in 2016. At least, I mean, the pollsters are wrong. Either it's going to be razor close, or Donald Trump is going to win. And he's not guaranteed to win any of them. But there is no shot that Joe Biden has a 12-point lead in these states. And I'm getting emails now from politicians, local politicians, who we talked to just a few weeks ago. And we thought that we saw a lot of enthusiasm changing. But they at that point were really down on their fortunes, thinking that after the first debate with Joe Biden. They're emailing me yesterday saying, you know what? I think you were right. This is starting to shift. The enthusiasm, especially since the final debate, is on the Republican side. The riots have broken out again. And people are really, really motivated, and they're just we found people who were supporting Joe Biden for sure, who did not like Donald Trump for sure, but we didn't find anyone who was excited for Joe Biden anywhere we went who wasn't a professional Democrat.
So let me run something else by you. One of your other colleagues at the Federalist, Tristan Justice, pointed out reference Minnesota, and Minnesota, as I point out to the audience earlier, had last been won by a Republican was Nixon during 72, during that landslide. Trump narrowly lost it to Hillary 4 years ago. Your colleague Kristen Justice says Minnesota could be the surprise upset that hands Trump a second term. And part of that also behind that, there's a leaked report coming out, document supposedly, that a coalition of left-wing groups in Minnesota fear that Trump's going to win, and they're preparing a post-election mass unrest strategic disruption. This is going. They're going to go bonkers out there, regardless. I think. What do you say?
They do. I mean, we didn't write about Minnesota because we only got to spend one day in the capital. But I tell you, it was an eerie, eerie place to be. And I've been all over the country since COVID started covering that. I've been all over the country since the riot started. I've never seen anything that was so eerie as downtown Minneapolis, where there was no one seen for blocks except for one person on a raised unicycle. Everything was boarded up. The streets were silent. Occasionally you'd see a drug addict. This was a booming bar district, and we had to walk 2 miles across a bridge to grab dinner because everything was shut down. And the bartenders we talked to, one of them said, "I'm center left. All my friends are center left, and we're seriously considering voting for Donald Trump." And I said, "Well, where are you leaning?" He said, "Oh, my mind is made up. I am done with this. The riots, the attacks, and the lockdowns." And that was in the deep blue city. I didn't have a chance to get out in the country, but I can't imagine it's changing out there.
Well, yeah, and we had you on air at that time after you had that brief show up, and you're right. You told us then that a city that should be bustling in that main area was just a ghost town, basically, and it's fear, the riots, and everything else. And I've said all along that I believe the violence in the streets is going to be a big play for Trump. And, of course, they're trying to make COVID and race the bigger play. Trying to decide which is going to win out.
It's been interesting to see. And I assumed, just based on looking at everything, that the suburban women who were afraid of the COVID aspects would be more upset about the rioting and the threats to their families and the threats to their communities with that. In Pennsylvania, at least, we were told that, well, local nearby rioting in Philadelphia, for example, which was going on, was really affecting men and switching men voters to the Republican column. It wasn't changing a lot of the concerns over some of the white educated women who had left the party. That surprised me, and I'll have to take a look at the exit polls. But that was the first time I'd seen that outside of just assuming and actually talking to folks on the ground. And it did have to redirect some of where my mind was on that question.
In the last 30 seconds, after you've gone through some of these swing states you just described for us, and again, we're talking about you were in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, right? Last 30 seconds.
Yes, sir.
What's your gut tell you?
My gut tells me that Donald Trump wins at least one of those states, maybe more. But I have some very smart friends telling me that I'm wrong. But that's my gut.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you gave some credence to your smart friends. I appreciate it. We think you're pretty smart, by the way, and I appreciate you joining us, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
We'll do it again. Chris Bedford of The Federalist. That's interesting. And when it comes to race, Trump continues to pick up large numbers. I say large. I mean, obviously, various support, and some from folks that might actually bring others with them. I'll explain when we continue.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
It was a week ago today that CNN anchor Jake Tapper was slamming President Trump for remarks he made during the final presidential debate, specifically saying he's done more for the black community than other presidents, with the exception of Abraham Lincoln. That might be a stretch, but let it stand on that sentence. But he went on to condemn it and say it was wrong. And I'm sure he expected his fellow commentator, Van Jones, a black man who's been a commentator at CNN for some time, to back him up. Van Jones said, "I think it's really unfortunate because Donald Trump and I get beat up by liberals every time I say it, but I keep saying it. He has done good stuff for the black community. Opportunity Zone stuff, black college stuff. I worked with him on criminal stuff. I saw Donald Trump have African-American people formerly incarcerated in the White House, embraced them, treated them well. There is a side to Donald Trump I think he does not get enough credit for." Yeah, they don't want to hear that. But we've seen numerous names in the black community stepping forward. Not all of them, obviously. but names and folks that are followed and recognized by different elements of the black community, be they in rap, such as Ice Cube, or sports, Herschel Walker. And speaking of rap, hip-hop artist Lil Wayne now saying that he is backing Trump. He had a meeting with President Trump regarding the Platinum Plan to invest in black communities. Said just had a great meeting. In addition to what he's done with criminal reform, his Platinum Plan is going to give community real ownership. I'm assured he will get it done, and I'm supporting him. Ice Cube had done the same thing the other day, saying that he had come up, Ice Cube, with contract with Black America. He said, I reached out to Democrats and Republicans, say, I want to discuss this. And the Democrats' response was, we'll get back to you after the election. Trump's team said, come in. We're putting this together. You can help us right now. And so they did. Today, just maybe an hour and a half ago now, the Black Press USA put out an op-ed from President Donald J. Trump titled, My Message to Black America. They put it out just as he stated it. They didn't change it. I mean, they just let it stand for what he pointed out. And he points out in his op-ed, in 2016, I had a straightforward question for black Americans. What do you have to lose? He said, black Americans don't have to ask what they have to lose in 2020. Instead, the question should be, how much more do we have to gain? He said, I've done more for the black community than Democrats like Joe Biden have done in 47 years. And he started talking about that Platinum Plan. He said, it's going to ensure more black Americans opportunity to succeed over the next 4 years. He says it's built around pillars of opportunity, security, prosperity, and fairness. I'm committed to adding 3 million new jobs for the black community. 3 million. Creating 500,000 new black-owned businesses. Increasing access to capital in black communities by almost $500 billion to close the wealth gap. Since I've been your president, we've done everything we can. Unemployment, poverty rates, black Americans hit record lows before the virus hit. He said, we're fighting stop illegal immigration, which hurts black communities. I pointed that out for you previously. Protect school choice, giving parents more options. They're in a bad area. They want their kids to have a better school. And, yeah, they should have some options to do that. Working with Senator Tim Scott, creating opportunity zones. And, of course, passing landmark criminal justice reform to undo the damage of mass incarceration. Obama and Biden had the opportunity, and they passed. They never did do it. And when it came to the historically black colleges and universities, Trump points out in his op-ed, it was my honor to be the first sitting president to invite all historically black college university leaders to the White House and permanently fund their programs through the Future Act. See, up to that point, they've been having to go in and beg for money. Can we have some more money for our historically black colleges? He said, when there was increased violence and deaths in Democrat-controlled cities, we started Operation Legend. He's referenced the legend to Lara Farrow in Kansas City, who was killed. He said, in black communities across the nation, there's a reckoning to the reality Democrats have failed them for generations, leaving them with failing schools, no jobs, lost hope, while wasting time and taxpayer money on baseless and partisan politics. And he added this, I promise to stand for the forgotten men and women of this country, whether they live in Chicago or Charlotte, Detroit, Dubuque, if they're black or white. I meant it. That's exactly what I've done. Pretty powerful op-ed distributed by Black Press USA. Trump won 8% of the black vote last time. And he had made it clear, what do you got to lose? I think most everyone being realistic says he'll probably do at least 10%, maybe higher. We'll see. Program note for you, starting Monday, November 2nd, I will not be on during this time frame. We want to book Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA. He's coming out with a new program. We want to carry him live. And the only time he can would be during my time, 11 to 1. So Charlie Kirk will be in this time slot. I will be on 1 to 3. 1 to 3, Monday through Friday, starting Monday, November 2nd. Coming up in the next hour, more on what Biden is promising to do to the country if you elect him, you better listen.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.